Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Welcome to an all-new podcast. It's Always Be Comedy's Comedy Heroes. This has been a no-brainer for a while. We've talked about it. It's time to make it happen. What's happened with the podcast is that certain people will come up and they deserve even more love and attention. And then Tim and I have had other chats and tangents and deep dives. And there are lots of people in the world of comedy who we could talk about, and based on your emails, it sounds like you're excited as well. Some of your suggestions on emails and social media have been wonderful, some obvious, some less obvious, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But episode one had to be the great Jasper Carrot, someone we admire enormously. I know that comedian friends, comedy fans that we know, love Jasper Carrot enormously. Tim, I know we've got some other things to talk about before we get to Jasper, but I can say this. I think everyone loves Jasper Carrot. What I mean by that is there are certain people in comedy, some people will love them, some people will not love them, but I don't know anyone who has experienced Jasper's work, and I think he's almost impossible to dislike.
He is, I'd say, the embodiment of ages 8 to 80, you're going to love him. He is just incredible. He's got like the everyman thing. It never feels cheesy. He does poignancy quite well. And I really love the guy. He's not someone I'd expect to like as much as I do, but I just watch his stuff and it's pure warmth and comfort.
Now, we'll come back, but I've been watching a lot of Jasper to prep for this, and one thing that struck me, and I completely forgot this, is how he makes it look like he's just talking.
Yeah, possibly the king of it. He is just...
He looks like your dad's mate who's wandered onto a stage and just started talking. Now, to get to that level, oh my God, takes years, and to make it look like you're just having a chat is one of the hardest things. Anyway, before we get to JC, the JC initials, there's Jasper Carrot, there's John Cleese, and there's Jesus Christ, and the three of them should be talked about in the same breath. I know Cleese has gone GB News, right? And I know we can't, I know that you know, that's not ideal, but I'm still so pro Cleese. He's still got so much good stuff in the bank.
Fawlty Towers, it might be, apart from The Office, for me, it's probably the number two sitcom ever. It's just, let's say it's the best sitcom of the 20th century, for me, anyway.
It's essentially perfect. I'm a big Michael Palin fan. I've read all his diaries. They're published. I've not like broken into his house. And, the Palin family must never know this. Now, in his 70s diaries, there's a lovely bit where he says that he's watching Fawlty Towers as a regular punter at home on his television. And he's roaring with laughter. And I think it's the dead body in the carpet. I think that's the bit that really cracks up Palin. Now, Tim, the correspondence, I think we can safely say that the Stephen Merchant episode resulted in more engagement than perhaps any other episode.
It was like in the first Harry Potter book when all the letters arrive in Harry. I don't know if this reference works.
It does.
It is. We have been attacked with correspondence in the best way.
So the emails, the comments, the tweets, trust me, we read every single one of them. And what I mean is, because there's, you know, there are some cool dudes who, you know, oh man, I sort of wish I was one of those cool dudes. You know, team, you know, the cool dudes that don't, you know, they let praise, they don't even read praise or anything like that.
Yeah.
Tim and I, we're never going to be those cool dudes. And so John Tracy, his Twitter handle is a comedy fan guy. And that guy is such a champion of comedy. He comes to Always Be Comedy a lot, but not just that. He's a, Tim and I get pangs of jealousy when we see that he's at other gigs. But John, if there's comedy on, John Tracy goes to check it out. He's out and about pretty much every night of the week. He's always championing comedians. It can be new comedians, it can be legends, everyone in between. He's one of the OG champions of live comedy. And some of his correspondence to say, John, what I really appreciated was you saying that the questions we asked Stephen were the questions that comedy fans would want to ask, and asking the right questions and so on. And that was not lost on me. And I was very grateful for that, because when you get the opportunity to chat with someone like Stephen, you want to be asking the right things. So obviously, yes, we could have chatted more about, say, extras or The Office, but we went into it feeling that Stephen has talked about those things so much down the years. So was there any point in retreading over old ground? And I came to the conclusion, you know, not massively. And so we wanted to ask questions about things that he might not have talked about. And for example, the stuff about Logan. Tim, that nugget about Hugh Jackman buying scratch cards as gifts for people, stuff like that. I mean, that was a beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it made me love Hugh Jackman even more than I already do. And yeah, well, it made me revisit that. I rewatched that scene after the podcast, and it's great. Super Merchant, like, doing serious is something I hope he does more and more of, because he's great.
The amount of emotion he can convey on his face is absolutely extraordinary. And in that movie, he absolutely breaks your heart. He's really terrific. Yeah, Stephen, he's just a gifted actor, not just a gifted comedy actor, a gifted actor, full stop. And then the Taskmaster stuff, I'm not on Reddit, but one of the Always Be Comedy dudes has reached out, and they sent a link, and Taskmaster Reddit has absolutely devoured the Stephen Merchant stuff. And also, Tim, not just that, Tim and I were at a gig together the other night, and we were reading the Taskmaster Reddit. And Tim, I think it's fair to say that Reddit can be a bit of a wild west with stuff.
Oh my God. When we were told, you guys are on Reddit, I was like, oh God. then we clicked on it, hiding behind each other. And you know what? Everyone was so lovely. If anyone's going to be nice on Reddit, it's going to be Taskmaster fans, to be fair.
Tim performed the sign of the cross before opening Reddit. Yeah. And we were very relieved everything was gushing. Sorry, hang on. And we were relieved that everyone was very excited about it. It was all positive. And it was a great thing where everyone was super excited about the mere prospect of Stephen Merchant on Taskmaster, Tim.
Well, look, no pressure on the Taskmaster team, but every time they announce a new series, I'm already very excited. I love seeing who the new lineup's going to be, but I'm going to be waiting for big merch every time now.
Do you, Tim, do you have someone in mind that you would love to see on Taskmaster who hasn't been on yet, that you think would be an absolute Hall of Famer or a dark horse or somebody that would be worth taking that punt on?
Yes, I do. I've got so many names, but the name screaming out at me at the moment is Pat Cahill.
Oh, what a good shout. He'd be perfect, wouldn't he?
He'd fit into that Kearns, Tim Key section, which, look, very easy to say, it's fair, such good pals, but I think he would fill that brief so brilliantly, and I think it would introduce him to a lot of people who would just fall head over heels in love with him.
Also, the whole, he's such a good fit on Taskmaster. Quirky, lateral thinker, his brain, this is a compliment, his brain works in that slightly different way. He was at ABC in recent months, wasn't he? And it was just great to see him again.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favourite acts to watch. And I can't really think of anyone else doing the act quite like him. He does sort of folky songs, a bit like a comedy hero, Jasper Carrot.
I'll tell you what I've got written down.
Please.
Josh Pugh.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, I'd love that. Make it happen.
The Pugh man would go thermonuclear, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He's one of our favourites, isn't he? But I think he would be so brilliant on that. And I'd really like to see him, because I've really only ever seen him do stand-up or, you know, talking to him off stage. I'd love to see him get his artistic side out.
The great thing about Taskmaster is there are so many up-and-comers, brilliant comedians, existing comedians, legends, that the show can run forever.
Oh, absolutely. And I sincerely hope it does.
So if you've listened to our Alex Horn episode, funnily enough, Jasper Carrot.
Yeah.
I say funnily enough, I've written it down. But Jasper Carrot, funnily enough, I've just thought of this. No, it was meticulously written down before the recording. Jasper Carrot is a name who came up as someone who would be, because he's such an icon, a legend, who'd be wonderful on Taskmaster. We've just mentioned Josh Pugh and Pat Cahill. I've also got Jen Brister written down, Tim.
Oh my God! Yes, I'd love to see that.
Jen Brister is naturally hilarious. People love her, and I say this with as a friend of Jen Brister's. I don't want to clip me around the ear. There's a little bit of fire in the belly.
There is, if I may say so, there can be a lot of fire in the belly sometimes.
And I was being diplomatic. There is a lot of fire in the belly.
And I think she would absolutely destroy Alex Horn in the best way.
You can see her in my mind's eye. She's in the studio. There might be a little bit of finger jabbing going on. She's being funny while she's doing it. There's potential attack for Taskmaster Hall of Fame there. And then also, now, Jen, I'm not saying that she'd necessarily be competitive, but she might also stand her ground. That's what we love from Brister is the classic Brister rant. I mean, she's turned it into an art form. You know, somebody who wouldn't probably rant and probably wouldn't be bothered about standing their ground, but would be similarly funny, is Sunil Patel.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's someone we've been seeing a lot of recently. And genuinely, like, the leaps he makes every time we see him, he is just, he's becoming more and more himself, and he's so fantastic. He's brilliant.
Sunil's been going for quite a long time, but in the past, I was going to say year, might even be less than that. I agree. But also, let's say Jen gets told she's been awarded 3 points.
Yeah.
Now, Jen might go, are you kidding me? How did you even see what I did? You know. Whereas Sunil, if you went Sunil getting 3 points, he'd be like, oh, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Oh, I can see it already. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you haven't seen Sunil Patel, change that ASAP. He's so great.
If you have got someone in mind that you think would be great on Taskmaster, drop us a line and we can chat about this on the old Heroes of Comedy pod. The team at alwaysbecomedy.com and put something like ABC Taskmaster in the headline or something like that. Because one of the reasons why Taskmaster is so wonderful is because it's a show where you're constantly fan casting or thinking of people who'd be a perfect fit. It might not be, obviously, you know, we're comedy dudes in our bones. It might not be a stand-up. It might be somebody who works in, you know, somebody who's a comedy actor, comedy adjacent. I mean, something like Bob Mortimer, I mean, God, obviously he's 100% comedian, but obviously he's not doing a set of stand-up comedy, but yet is, for many people, Tim is, I mean, he's in a lot of people's top five, top three, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. And quite right. He's the creativity he's got, which he, I guess he's shown since the 90s, like is still there. And yeah, I'd say it was a perfect booking for a show.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, Jasper Carrot, he came up, as I say, on the Horn episode. So, but by the way, I'm not being coy here. We don't have secret intel or anything like that. But obviously, that would be wonderful. That would be a wonderful, wonderful thing if one day we're watching Taskmaster, you know, and they announce it, that Carrot has gotten there. Now, what's happened is, before the recording, a couple of days ago, Tim and I had a, let's go with the word meeting, but we had a meeting about Jasper Carrot, and we haven't done this yet, but there is an email address, Tim, and we could reach out to Team Carrot. So probably off the back of this, we should do that and try get him on the pod, or try get him down to ABC if he's ever in London. I mean, obviously that's unlikely. If you know, he's in his late 70s, he still gigs, albeit sporadically and on his terms, Tim.
We looked into his gigs, and my God, there's some real treats. There's so much you could say about just that.
Well, yeah, so Jasper has been performing live recently, and he's got an ABBA tribute act supporting him. Now, talk about something for everyone.
It's honestly, it's perfect. I think that sums him up so well, that he's just there to have a great night of comedy. He just wants people to enjoy themselves. And yeah, again, an ABBA tribute band as your support is, I've never seen anyone do that before. And it makes sense.
Also, comedy and music do not, I mean, Jasper obviously knows what he's doing. Comedy and music do not always mix. Billy Connolly and his wife, Pamela Stevenson, have talked about in the past when Elton John loves comedy. And so Elton John, and this was when Billy Connolly was absolute peak of powers, early 80s, I think this was, when Connolly was probably, he was never funnier than this absolute golden period. I think I'm right here. And Elton John, as a comedy fan, books Billy Connolly to be his tour opener. Now, I know that you're probably listening to that. I mean, a lot of you already know this, but you're probably listening to that thinking, hang on, that sounds like the best night ever. But the reality is that Billy Connolly would walk on stage. Obviously, any of us would be sat there going, I can't believe I get to see Billy Connolly, and then the Rocket Man is going to come on next. But what was happening was that Billy Connolly was walking on, and the crowd, they're all sat there waiting for Crocodile Rock, or, you know, Candle in the Wind. And Billy Connolly, oh, have you ever noticed? Sorry, apologies to every Scottish person ever. And apparently it was really tough. So Jasper Carrot, I mean, talk about having self-confidence. He's got an ABBA tribute act banging out some of the greatest pop songs of all time. But Jasper Carrot knows that he's Jasper Carrot, and he's still going to go on and roof it. Now, Jasper Carrot, much like the likes of Harry Hill and Stuart Lee, I know I always talk about this love of the game, but there are certain people that just love comedy, and it doesn't matter how successful or how much money sorry, it's a very crude thing to say. It doesn't matter how much cash they've amassed, they still want to go out and gig rather than sit at home on that metaphorical or maybe even literal Lilo sipping a pina colada. They've just got to get out and gig. Now, Jasper Carrot, I know, co-owned a production company. He was a part owner of a very big production company called Cellar Door.
And oh my God, he was.
Yeah, and it's called, and he you spell it C-E-L-A-D-O-R rather than like opening a cellar door. It's spelled slightly differently. Now, they're a massive company because they were the makers of, are you ready? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I forgot about this. Oh my God, that is incredible.
And so they, but I know that, I think it was like nearly 20 years ago, like a good while ago, Jasper and Mrs. Jasper, his wife Hazel, I don't know the family personally. Oh God, I mean in my dreams. I don't know, sounded a bit unsettling, I said that. But I do know enough about Jasper Carrot to know that I think they sold their shares in the company off the back of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I mean, you know, very shrewdly sold their shares for millions of pounds. I think it was 10 million pounds.
Oh my God. Oh my fucking hell.
I mean,
wow.
If you already admired and loved Jasper Carrot, I think your levels of admiration of love may have, you know, just gone through the roof. So the reason why I'm saying that is, and I'm sorry to bring money into it, but what I'm saying is that Jasper has been a profoundly successful person for the best part of 50 years. I mean, it's an astonishing career. But the fact that he's still going out there gigging is so admirable, Tim.
I want to point out he's doing these tour dates with the ABBA band and all the proceeds are going to charity. And look, it's tough. Making a living in comedy is really tough, especially it's hard to stay on top for 50 years. And the fact that he is still touring and all that money goes to charity, I think has to be hugely admired. I sort of couldn't believe it when I saw it. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, Tim and I, during our chat the other day, we were in real time together Googling and then on the poster, I mean, such respect, all net profits go to charity. I mean, that is, I mean, what a guy. So he is doing that purely for love of the game. I mean, what a guy. Now, Tim, how did you first get into Jasper Carrot? What was your introduction?
So I remember very clearly he used to have a TV show. I think it was probably one of the first times seeing stand-up, because I guess in the rock and roll 90s, stand-up was quite brash and blue, but Jasper Carrot was quite family-friendly. So they showed him at like a more primetime slot. And he used to have a show called 24 Karat Gold, which is obviously perfect. It was him doing his best stuff on BBC. And even back then, like pre-really any particularly love of stand-up, I just thought he was incredible.
So, I mean, you go through his IMDb and it's hit after hit after hit. So Carrot, oh God, I mean, I'm sure I made you. I think I remember Carrot's Lib. This was 82 to 83. He did some short animated films for London Weekend Television. Now, Carrot Confidential is an iconic TV show that ran from 87 to 89. So this is like the golden era of Carrot. Carrot Confidential, Canned Carrot, 24 Karat Gold. There's one Jasper Carrot recorded live at Theatre Royal. There's the Detectives, the sitcom he does with Robert Powell. There was like a greatest hit show called the Jasper Carrot Trial, which was an excuse to play classic clips. Now, Tim, Carrot's Commercial Breakdown, that ran for 7 seasons. And honestly, the excitement I felt when there was going to be a new episode of Carrot's Commercial Breakdown. These are the sort of, you know, when you're a kid and you get like a giddy rush. There's a Bart Simpson gag where he says something like pleasure overload. And I remember that. I remember that feeling so much when you're a kid and you cannot believe your luck. And Carrot's Commercial Breakdown had that, because there might be an advert from Australia that had some fruity language in it. Now, bear in mind that I would have been a teenager. There might have been an advert from Germany that might have had some nudity in it. And I'm well aware that in 2024, that's not a cool thing to say. You've got to trust me, speaking as a teenager in the 90s, that might have been the TV highlight of the year. Unless, of course, you were watching the show in the same room as your parents, and then you'd have to pick up the TV Times and pretend to read that just to avoid any sort of awkwardness. Tim, was that something that was on your radar, or were you too young for Carrot's commercial breakdown?
I hate to say it, I was too young for that. I got into stuff through the stand-up shows, and then he presented, I'm going to say, one of the all-time great daytime quizzes in Golden Balls.
See, this is it. Like, later era Jasper, that's another big hit for the guy, isn't it?
Absolutely gigantic hit. There are elements of The Traitors, the biggest show on TV, that just remind me of Golden Balls in the best way. I really love a daytime quiz, if I'm honest. Me and my partner, like, we really, we consume far more than we'd like to admit. And yeah, I think Golden Balls is really up there. I think he's brilliant and such a good host. He can just, he's just got it. He's got that Bob Monkhouse to him. He's great.
Golden Balls, 289 episodes.
And I've seen them all. It's perfect.
The TV warm-up in me is thinking, oh, what a sweet gig that would have been. Hanging out with Jasper Carrot and getting 289 episodes worth of work. That's a freelance dream. Carrot's commercial breakdown. So the format of the show was Jasper Carrot would essentially do stand-up, but about the adverts you were about to see. So he was always funny. Yes, the adverts were great. Yes, the adverts worked as individual bits of comedy, but it was Carrot's bits of business that was really taking it to 10 out of 10, which is why it was a show that ran as long as it did. I would say if you fancy a nostalgic treat, they're on the underrated Daily Motion. And there's bits and bobs on YouTube as well. In fact, it might be some sort of BBC copyright nightmare. But anyway, Carrot's commercial breakdown is out there. And then Tim, he went viral with his Australian insurance claims. Have you ever checked these out?
Yes, absolutely. I will talk about it in a bit. But yes, I'd say that is genuinely one of the most classic bits of stand-up, along with the Nutter on the Bus.
Oh, hang on. Now, Nutter on the Bus, please talk us through it.
So, Nutter on the Bus, it's a bit he did in the 80s, and I still think about it all the time. After this recording, I'm going to get a bus into town. I'll be thinking about it there. It's the classic, have you ever noticed, whenever you're on a bus, why does a nutter always sit next to you? There's an audio recording of it on YouTube. And I watch it all the time. It's the audience properly go for it. This is a theory, which I'm sure isn't true, but I almost think we're 80s stand-up audiences almost better because it was like a new exciting thing for them, because the audience in every single thing he does in the 80s are just definitely loud.
They are, Tim, this is such a great point you've raised. They are losing their minds.
Yeah.
It's like they're making so much noise that you imagine that they're like on their haunches.
Yeah.
They're screaming. They're almost like begging for mercy. Jasper Carrot gets these like rolling gales of laughter, and you can hear these shrieks, and it's not fake. I mean, it is authentic. Some of the stuff that he did, I think, is taken from Live at the Drury Lane. I think the first ever insurance claim is from like an early 80s Live. People are losing their mind. Now, I would say this about Nutter on the Bus. One of the highest compliments you can pay any stand-up is when you say it has infiltrated your brain. Yeah. And so that every time you're sat on a bus, you do invariably think of Jasper Carrot's Nutter on the Bus. Now, I'm also aware that in 2024, the word nutter is not a word that you would misuse, but we are using it in a specific sense because that was the literal name of the bit, Nutter on the Bus. Rather than us speaking in disparaging terms, I'm probably overdoing covering ourselves and Jasper because you know that it's the name of the bit, but I also, you know, I also want to be absolutely crystal clear. The insurance claims, Tim, these went viral as emails. These were emails that were sent around the world, weren't they?
I forgot that was how virality, that's what it was before big numbers on social media. Yeah, it was my auntie sending an email to my mum with this line of jokes.
And they would go on forever because they'd basically done the transcript of all of Jasper's insurance claims from down the years. Because I think he went to the well a few times and there would be different claims. And it was, there's one where a guy's like bouncing off someone's windscreen and they've put it as part of the insurance claim. Tim, I'm going to show my age as someone who was a student in the 90s. Jasper's insurance claims was one thing that went viral. There was an email that was called, I think it was called Tommy Cooper gags.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, they were Tim Vine jokes.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And then there was another thing that went viral and it was written down because this was pre-sharing. I mean, crikey, I don't think you wouldn't have had the capabilities of sharing a video in the 90s. Tim, I'm going to lower the tone. It was Sesame Street pornography.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say. Wow.
And it would reveal in explicit detail what, say, Maria off Sesame Street would do to, say, Oscar the Grouch or whatever.
great choices, can I say?
And it was, right, this is very niche. I would like to think, I'm 45, I would like to think that there are people listening of a certain age who I hope are saying something like, oh my God, I'm so relieved I wasn't the only one who received that email. But I'm also aware there are people going, what are you talking about? But I promise, I went to university and every student I know received the same email and it was grim. Put it this way, the Jasper Carrot email was light relief compared to I'm saying the horror and the trauma of the Sesame Street email. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've memorized every word. I read it from top to bottom. Let's make absolutely no mistake. Now, I'm well aware that we're two steps away from making Jasper Carrot an official saint, but there's a couple of things that I really want to flag. And this is a lot of people in, not just in comedy or show business or, you know, but in the world in general, they can make it and then it's very easy. They can pull up the ladder and they don't help the people beneath them. I'm all right, Jack, pull away the ladder and all of that. I know that Jasper Carrot helped Punt and Dennis. So obviously Punt and Dennis are comedy legends, you know, a great double act. The Now Show has recently called time after this incredible run, but Punt and Dennis got one of their breaks. They were the weekly sketch on Jasper Carrot's BBC One show. So Carrot would do, say, 12 minutes of stand-up and it would cut to a Punt and Dennis clip and then it would avert back to Jasper in the studio and he'd close with another block of stand-up. So he gave Punt and Dennis a big break. And then also Phil Kuhl was a massive star of the 80s and 90s. I was originally going to say late 80s, but no, he was around longer than that. Jasper Carrot had seen Phil Kuhl on quite an obscure TV show, I think, in the early 80s, and then proactively reached out to Phil Kuhl. And I think Jasper produced Phil Kuhl's TV show.
Wow. I had no idea about any of this. I didn't know about Punt Dennis stuff. What a guy. Yeah, brilliant.
That's so lovely. Obviously, Jasper had real clout in TV and put that clout to positive use in terms of helping other people. So I read an interview with Phil Kuhl where he basically said, Jasper Carrot was such a hero to me. And I know that he'd seen me on, I think it's some sort of Yorkshire TV show. And he'd seen him on that. Jasper saw something in Phil and then, and they end up touring together. They become friends. But Phil Kuhl said that he always really appreciated, because it's easy to talk a good game, but to actually, to play one as well. So Jasper made Phil's TV comedy dreams come true as well. So Jasper is a top dude on stage and then also off stage. I tell you what, Tim, with episode one, we've set such a high bar because Jasper Carrot is basically tens across the board. What I think we must do after this is we probably should reach out to Team yeah. Jasper, and even if it's just us sending him this episode, but we should reach out and say we hope Jasper knows how loved he is, because we Tim and I were chatting with Dara O'Brien after An Always Be Comedy a year or two ago, and we were talking about comedy heroes, and it's chats like this is how this pod has come about. And we were talking about Russ Abbott, and Dara has similar love for Russ Abbott, and I said that I bumped into Russ, I've told this story before on the pod, and I told him how much I loved him, and Russ could almost not believe that there was love for him. And then Dara had a very similar thing. There was a bash at the BBC, and Russ Abbott was there, and Dara said he was part of this group. There was a group of people going up to Russ and saying, we love you, and we want you to know how much we love you. And again, Russ, his brain couldn't compute the fact there was so much love for him. And so I know that Tim and I get a lot of, albeit loving, but it's still flack. We get flack off a lot of comedians for being, Ed Gamble would be front of this queue. We get a lot of loving flack, but it does come from a good place. And Ed is probably listening to this, but Ed, don't ever change. We love the flack, but we do get flack for being positive about people. But I do believe that you shouldn't die with the music inside you. You should put it all out there. Tim, this really boils my piss. When somebody dies, somebody will tweet or they'll put in their, they'll give a comment and they'll say, oh, and you know what? I never told them that I love them. Oh, I never told them that I was a fan. And you're like, well, that's sort of inexcusable. So I suppose this podcast in a way is, it's a way of letting people know. I mean, I know who we've got coming up, and unfortunately, unless we have a Ouija board, it's not going to be possible to tell certain people what we think of them. But nevertheless, it's important to put it out there, Tim.
Oh, yeah, of course. It is a shame when you see like the outpouring. Well, it is a shame. It's also lovely when there's like a day of remembering how wonderful someone is. But you do think, God, it is a shame this person isn't here to see. Like when Norm Macdonald died, the amount of clips that were going around, like from various little projects he's done, like online shows, the TV stuff, SNL, or stand-up, and like so many different parts of his career were being celebrated. And I think it's a real shame he doesn't get to see it. So yeah, I think we are going to try and redress the balance with this podcast.
So Norm Macdonald, he kept his cancer quiet. You might know this. He didn't tell a soul. And then he passed away. And it turns out he'd been battling it for years and he'd never said a word. And I'm a bit, some of you will know just from previous episodes, I'm a huge David Spade fan. And David Spade has come out and said recently, he's gone through, I mean, there's nothing you can do about this. This isn't a case of dying with the music inside. This is just Norm keeping it quiet. David Spade has gone through the messages that he sent Norm, because they would arrange to meet up and Norm would bail at short notice. Mm. And David's messaging him saying things like, come on, mate, if we've arranged to meet, you can't just pull out at short notice. And, you know, Norm's come back with some joke, you know, and Spade now is like kicking himself. Oh God, I was too harsh because I'm telling him off. So obviously, so all right, it's all very well me wagging a finger and saying you should tell people. Obviously, you never know what. Obviously, you never know what's around the corner. I fully appreciate that. But what I would say is, if there is someone in your life who you would like to say something positive to, I think you should just say it to him, eh?
Absolutely. And I'd like to think the two of us are very good with that, to be fair.
Now, before we go, Tim, is there any other business with Jasper Carrot?
Yes, there is. On YouTube, Jasper Carrot, Beat for Carrot, 1981. It's a special he recorded at the Palladium, over 40 years ago at this stage. And I'd say it is in my top three comfort watches, full stop. It's so family friendly and lovely. And like, it's not necessarily the sort of thing I'd normally watch, but it is just, it is perfect, incredible. He is so good. He sort of has that folky comedy thing that was going on back then. And you just don't really see anything like it these days. And it's all on YouTube. It's really essential. I'm going to include a link in the description. It's vital watching.
Also, this is a thing, and I perhaps didn't realise it was a thing. I was at a, I'm going to drop a name here, but I was at a I was at a Palace match recently. Dougie Friedman, Palace legend, dare I say it, we are friends, and we were talking. He loves comedy. He's been to Always Be Comedy, and I didn't realise this, but this is a thing where a lot of stand-up comedy has come from people being musical, and the musical bits would get shorter and shorter, and the chatty bits in between were getting longer and longer, and this is how stand-up comedy was being created very organically in the 1970s. And obviously, I can hear some of you, I'll open my window, I can hear some of you shouting, Billy Connolly, and that is the, that's the person that we're talking about. So Dougie Friedman was explaining to me that a lot of comedy in Scotland was born out of someone picking up the guitar and then while also being hilarious. And so Billy Connolly started out that way with by doing music, obviously one of the funniest people who's ever lived, and it just sort of metamorphosized. Didn't feel like a great pronunciation, but I'm gonna stick with it. And then it obviously becomes this, you know, the iconic stand-up. And Jasper Carrot is a similar thing. He starts off as a folky guy in the late 60s, and then gradually, I mean, in my mind's eye, I do remember him with the guitar, but then gradually just becomes a pure stand-up. And of course, Tim, he had a chart hit with I have looked this up, but I don't remember it. I was born in 78, but I do remember it in my comedy knowledge that he did have this. It was a top five hit, 1975. It's a double A, Funky Moped. That was for a while. That was like a thing, and it was double A side with Magic Roundabout. Now this was produced by the great Jeff Lynne of ELO. So Jasper Carrot had a full career before I was born. You know, now I once interviewed David Gold, the late former football chairman. He had success with West Ham, but before that was with Birmingham City. And I went to his house and we talked about Jasper Carrot, who he loves and has tremendous warmth for Jasper Carrot. But Jasper Carrot had this, he has long running jokes about Birmingham City being rubbish. And David Gold enjoyed a purple patch while at Birmingham City. And as he said, David Gold was very happy as someone who was then associated with Birmingham City that he had torpedoed a whole segment of Jasper Carrot's stand-up because he was no longer able to poke fun at Birmingham City now that they'd become good. Because one of Jasper's old jokes was, I was at a Birmingham City match the other day and I said to the bloke next to me, "Oi, excuse me." Right, and the joke is that there's hardly anyone at Birmingham City.
Lovely.
So the gag is that the person next to Jasper Carrot was 50 yards away, right? You might remember the bit. There's another old Jasper Carrot bit that I still think about every time I get into a car. I've talked about it on a previous episode, and he's in the car with his wife. His mother-in-law is in the back, and they're driving down the motorway, and a car goes past them, and the car goes zoom, and it shoots past them, and it must be going at like 100 miles an hour, and it just zoom, disappears into the distance. And the mother-in-law leans forward and goes, "Huh, they won't get there any quicker." and then Jasper Carrot, and it's the physicality of Carrot. It's a perfect joke, but then Jasper Carrot gets the extra gales of laughs by pulling. It does that double take as if to say, "What are you talking about?" And also, I mean, Tim, that's a thing that we admittedly probably should have mentioned earlier with Jasper. It's that perfect blend of the performance is great, the writing is great. He's innately likable. He's got, as you said up top, he's got that everyman quality. But what he was, he's got this cartoonish face, and what he's able to do with those wonderful saucer-like eyes is just wring every last drop of laughter out of that adoring crowd.
He's got a great withering look. Yeah, he is. He's a very good, like, TV comedian, because he finds that close up, and he is just so brilliant with it.
Tim, you've absolutely nailed it. He was the ultimate TV comedian, because the television, and in those days, you know, it wasn't widescreen, so that TV is a close-up on Carrot. So he's not... when Carrot is Pete Carrot, he's sat on a stool.
Yeah.
Or he's just stood up. But if he's sat on that stool, he's obviously not going anywhere. So he knows he's got to maximise that space in the box, and by maximizing it, yes, he can use his limbs, but he's getting a lot of his laughs from that amazing face for comedy that he's got.
He really understands the form clearly, with all his history of not even just presenting but producing TV, and yeah, he maximizes it in a way that, like, still feels really modern, even though it was recorded decades and decades ago.
He had great success with the detectives, as mentioned, with Robert Powell. There's a couple of great gags. There's one where they accidentally take drugs, which you may have seen that episode. That is hilarious. And what happens is that they've got these drugs and they cannot stop dipping their fingers into... They never mention what the drug is. It's cocaine, I'm guessing. But they keep dipping their fingers in it and they're rubbing it on their gums and they keep turning to each other saying, yeah, it's quite a tingly feeling, isn't it? But you know, by the end of the episode, God knows how much cocaine they've got through. Yeah, sort of a tingly feeling. They keep rubbing it on the gums. And there's another episode where they play golf, and they're obviously not very good at golf, and they don't understand the concept of taking a practice swing, and they're watching Tony Jacklin tee off on a hole, and Tony Jacklin takes some practice swings, and the two of them, Powell and Carrot, are pissing themselves with laughter. And Tony Jacklin cannot understand what they're laughing at. They think that he's missing the ball. And at one point, Jasper Carrot shouts, "Don't worry, mate, we're shit as well." Without realising that it's the iconic, one of the greats, Tony Jacklin. So I think, Tim, in conclusion, not just one of the great stand-up comedians, but, I mean, the ultimate TV stand-up comedian, Jasper Carrot.
I can't believe we've made the boldest claim on episode one, and I agree with it. He is the ultimate TV comedian. He is so great. You've got to watch his stuff.
I'd never thought that until you've just said that. But you know, I'm miming it out now. The Shape of the TV. Jasper knows the importance of the close-up, and my God, did he maximize it? Harry Hill is another person who always understood the medium of television. He and I have talked about this at length, in terms of knowing which shot, what to do on which shot. We all know the sideways look that he would do on TV Burp. None of this was an accident. And then takes us to the lockdown shows. Tim, there was no better comedian at playing the lockdown space of being sat in front of the camera than Harry Hill. He's always 10 steps ahead of the game. I think he would appreciate the science of what we're talking about with Jasper and the TV box. Jasper, if you do end up listening to this, we hope you know how much love there is out there for you. Thank you for being our episode one of Always Be Comedy's comedy heroes. If you've got, some of you have emailed in, we do have some to get through, which is a wonderful thing. If you've got anyone you want to submit as a comedy hero, please drop us an email. The team at alwaysbecomedy.com put comedy hero in the header, and we've got a few to get through. So thank you very much, Tim. Thank you. Jasper, thank you. We're back this Tuesday with the regular episode. If you want to come to Always Be Comedy, check out our website, alwaysbecomedy.com. We're based at the Tommy Field in Kennington. Tim, any other business?
I think that's it. Give us a follow on the socials, Always Be Comedy, across the board. We'd love to hear from you.
That was a blast. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.